Everybody can hear me, right? All right. I promise I'm going to make this quick and painless. Don't worry. But it's going to be awesome, right? How many just already you just think that 2017, you know, it was good, but that 2018 is going to be better? How many you just, that's your mindset. That's how you think. Now, you know, they have like those people that are like half glass, you know, and then they see it half full, and then some people see it half empty. I'm one of those half full guys. Like, everything is positive. I'm just positive. But I know several who they're a little more pessimistic about things, and it's like they're half glass empty people. I want to say to you, if you're a half glass empty person, start being a half glass full person for next year. And even all those who are already half glass full, let's just be all the way, not just half. Let's just be all the way. Let's just fill it up and just pour some more in it. And let's just allow God to move in our life in 2018. Here's why I said all of what I just said, because 2018, I believe, is a year for the Connection Church and for you for unexpected shifts. Amen. Now, get what I'm saying here on unexpected shifts. What I mean by unexpected shifts is supernatural shifts of favor for you. You know, positive, more than the half glass full. And you say, well, shifts don't happen to me. Maybe you think, oh, well, favored. I'm not favored. I'm not a favored of the Lord type person. And remember, we just did a series, you know, an Advent series, and we were talking about Mary and how the angel says, you're favored. Mary was favored, and she counted herself as favored, and she prayed, and she said she was favored of God. And tonight, at the end, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray, and we're going to say, and we're going to declare, because there's power, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. That's what Proverbs 18 says, right? So there's power, life, and I'm going to say, I am favored. And for 2018, I am favored. There's decisions for you. There's decisions that are being made about you and for you in 2018, and I believe it's going to go in your favor. It's going to go in your favor, right? See, I know some things, and I believed it from the very moment I heard some things that, well, that's not going to happen. That was my, you know, response when somebody was saying, talking about something negative that could happen. Well, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I believe that what we can do, okay, is we can be like those in the Old Testament, those that were in the New Testament alike. And what they did is they put their full trust in God. And when you do that, something different begins to take place. Now, you say, well, TJ, well, bad things are going to happen. I'm not talking about that. I understand bad things can happen. And bad things do happen. And bad things have happened to me. Bad things have happened to you. Let's show of hands. Who had bad things happen? Everybody would have their hand up. But how many's had good things happen? And see, I don't focus on what's bad that's happened. What I do is I focus on what God wants to do. And I focus on that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able. What did we just sing? That God is able. Right? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, who in here is in power zone? How many power zone do we have in here? On track, you know, the kids' classes. All right, kids, I've got a question for you. The question is, what can God do? Now, the scripture says that he can do above whatever you can ask and think. So think about it. And I want you to tell me, what can God do? Who's got an answer for me? Raise your hand. Who's got an answer? What can God do?
Impossible and possible.
The impossible and the possible. That's a good answer. Who else? Power zone, on track. Where are you guys at? Who you got it? You got an answer? What can God do? Do you know?
He can make people.
He can make people. Absolutely 100% correct. Come on, give me a high five on that. Yeah, what can God do? Yeah, he made the world. That's right. He has that kind of ability. He even made the world. Anybody, what else? What can God do? He made the universe. He's got that kind of power. The heavens and the universe, that's good. God is able. Now see, if I'd gone and asked you adults that question, your answers would have been different. Now, hey, look, it may not have been totally, but it would have been a little different. See, in their mind, they think what? Big. What happens as we start getting older? We start thinking less and less big, and we start thinking smaller and smaller. But what does God want us to do? To have faith like a? He wants us to have faith like a child and start thinking about the God who created the universe. The God who created the universe. That's the kind of power of the God that I serve. So therefore, okay, God is able to do exceedingly above what you can ask. You say, okay, well, TJ, I get it. God is able. I know that. And then there's that question right after, but is he willing? Is he willing? And see, we talked about that earlier this year. We were talking about refreshing faith, and we were talking in May. It was May 28th, Refreshing Faith Part 2, if you want to go do this. I answer this question, but the short answer is this, is that yes, God is willing because you are worthy. That's right, you are worthy. Why? Because you have already passed judgment. Now see, that's hard for a lot of us to swallow. But see, the thing is that Hebrews says there's no more remittance of sins. In other words, what does that mean? God, he's not coming back down on the cross to pay for any sin that you're doing now. He already paid for it. In other words, you're his child. You're in the family. Therefore, you are worthy because you are a family member. There's certain things, if you were to come over to my house, that you are not worthy to do in my house. But Joshua, because he's in my family, my immediate family, in my house, and he lives there, he's, quote, worthy to do that. Some of those things. When you come into somebody's house and you're a guest, what do? You go and you do whatever the host tells you you can do. You know, you come sit down, you take your shoes off. If he says take your shoes, or whatever it is, can you take your shoes off at the door? We live in a house where we're like, everybody that comes in, we want them to take their shoes off. Everybody's coming in. The thing is that we are children of God. We are in the house of God. We're already at the table. Therefore, we can put our feet up and we can put our stinky socks feet right there on the coffee table, on the couch. It doesn't matter, right there in the house. We can go to the refrigerator without asking anybody, and we can get something to eat, something to drink. We can go to the pantry and get something out. We can get a skillet and start making something. We can start doing that. Why? Because we're already in the house. You are worthy. Therefore, God is not just able, he's also willing to go to bat for you on your behalf. He wants to bring you an unexpected shift. Get this, church. He wants to give you an unexpected shift in 2017 or 2018. He already did it. He's going to do it. He's already got it in his mind. He's already got it thinking. God knows it all. He's got it there and ready for you. 2018. We got to get used to saying that when we write on our checks and write on everything. We got to put 2018 down. Listen, examples of unexpected shifts. I'm going to go fast. I'm not going to read everything here. How many's heard of Ruth in the Bible? Ruth is awesome. If you've never read the book of Ruth, well, go and read the book of Ruth. And go, it's only 4 chapters. Read it slow. Read it really slow. Really, really good. See, there was a man named Elimelech from Bethlehem who was married to Naomi. And because of a famine in the land, they decided to go dwell in a different land called Moab. They had 2 sons, but then Elimelech dies. Then the 2 sons marry women in Moab, and then the 2 sons die. 10 more years later. Now you have three women. You have Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Now here's the thing. In the ancient world, if you were a childless widow, you were the lowest, most disadvantaged class there was. You had to rely on the generosity of strangers just to get by. And so Naomi, two daughter-in-laws, they're childless widows, all three of them. That's the situation. And Naomi is not from Moab, so she's living in a land where she has no family. She's a stranger in Moab, so to speak. So there was no one to help her, so that now it's a desperate situation. Now Naomi had heard that the famine had lifted in Israel, so she's going back home. She's going to Bethlehem. We pick up. I'm going to read a few verses. Keep all that in mind because it's important as we read these verses. Listen to this. Verse 8, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we'll return with you to your people. That's how much they loved their mother-in-law. How many in here could say you love your mother-in-law? That don't answer that. Surely. But Naomi said, wait a minute, no. Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Somebody say, unexpected shift. Get this now. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said this, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. That's an important verse right there. She stopped speaking to her. Now get this. Because of the situation, see, Orpah understood and got it. It was like, this is what's normal and natural, and what I should do is go back because I've got family here in Moab. I'm going to go back over here because that makes the most sense, and I'm going to find me a husband here because somebody here will marry me. And if I go with Naomi, she's right. Naomi's right. If I go with my mother-in-law, I have no idea if somebody's going to marry me in this other land. I don't know anything about it. As much as I love Naomi, you know what? This is upsetting me because I have to part from her, but you know what? I've got to go back home. That's where she's at. And if you lived in that day and time, in that age, that's what most people would do. But Ruth didn't. She did something different. There was something that took place inside of her that said, no, I am not leaving you. So she turned to Naomi and said, entreat me not to leave you. In other words, don't talk to me about leaving you. That's really what she was saying. Don't say anything else, because whatever your fate is going to be my fate. Whether I marry someone ever again or whatever happens, we can be sleeping outside. I don't care. I'm going with you. That's not normal. That's not normal. Not at that time. So what was that? It was an unexpected shift that took place right there in the world. Really, in the world, because that kind of thinking and that kind of thing, that did not happen in the ancient world. When you go and study and you look, that doesn't happen. So an unexpected shift took place. Now, we don't have time to read the rest of the story, but here's what I'm going to say. Because of Ruth's decision to listen to that little voice on the inside telling her, hey, guess what? you need to go with Naomi and go this direction. She ended up marrying a mighty wealthy man. And it was, she was totally taken care of. Naomi was taken care of. God began to bless her. And then she got married and she ended up having a son. So her husband's name was Boaz, and they had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, and then Jesse had a son named who? David, right? So now Ruth got a book written in her name. Why? Because she is now in the bloodline of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of an unexpected shift that took place, supernatural favor rested on her life right then at that moment, the shift that took place in the world. Now we continue on in that bloodline and we look at David. Here's David. We know, what did David become? The king of Israel, right? But see, before David was king, before he was anybody, he was a what? A shepherd boy, right? And he was tending sheep. And his father said, hey, listen, I want you to go to the battle. I want you to go to the front lines where all your older brothers are. You're not fighting. You're the youngest. You're this. You're that. But all your brothers are over there fighting. I want you to gather all this food, and I want you to go feed your brothers and drop it off at the front lines of the battle. He wasn't, okay, I've got to do that. No problem. I'll do that. This was just another day in David's life. But little did he know, as he was carrying the food to his brothers, that an unexpected shift was about to take place in his life. When he gets there with the food, what does he hear? He hears Goliath spouting off at the mouth, right? Spouting off all these things about the God of Israel and everybody else. Something rose up in David at that moment. Now, see, normally for a guy in his position, being the youngest and all this and that, and he had to obey his father and come bring this food, normally a person would do what? Drop off the food and go back home and see that big old giant go, okay, here's y'all's food. Good luck. And go right back to the sheep. But that's not what David did. Something rose up in him and an unexpected shift took place. And he ended up cutting off the head of Goliath, slaying the giant. To slay the giant in your life, you've got to be able to hear and discern the voice of God, and you've got to act upon the unexpected shift that God puts in your life. Now get this too. Well, before we get there. See, unexpected shifts go like this. They go in one or two ways. An unexpected shift just comes and you ain't got anything to do with it. You don't have anything to do with it. It just happens and God blesses you and that's that. Or favor, promotion happens on whatever it is that you thought you weren't going to have. All of a sudden things change. You were just telling about Stephanie, right? It just changed. She's about to leave work, all these things. She gets a promotion, gets all this, gets all that. It just happens. Now I'm staying. It's a shift. It takes place. It's not just happenstance. It's for a reason. But unexpected shifts also take place like this in our life. A door opens. And we have to decide. We have a decision whether I'm going through that door or I'm not. See, Ruth had a decision to make. Am I going to go with Naomi or am I going to stay? David had a decision. Am I just going to drop off food and let that big Goliath, let that giant spout off of the mouth and do nothing about it? Or am I going to do something? Am I going to pick up the sling and I'm going to put on the armor of God? I'm not using Saul's armor or somebody else's, what's natural in the world to do. No, I'm relying on God, supernatural favors in my life, and I'm going to slay this giant. Amen. See, so we have a decision to make. Church, an unexpected shift comes in many different ways. Now, see, I said the first thing that people ask me is, how do I hear God? The second thing I said was about on relationships, right? Everybody asks me about relationships, which is fine. I like it. I'm good with that. I get all kinds of different relationship questions. When I was 17 years old, I had had several girlfriends and this and that. Why? Because I was looking for, quote, the one. So that seems kind of young. Well, I was ready. At least so I thought. So I'm out there, I got these girlfriends, and I'm looking at these different ones, and I would bring them home to mom, and mom would always say no after they closed. After I brought her home, I would come back, and I'd say, what do you think? Nope. Every single time. It was the moment when I decided to give up my search and give it to God that an unexpected shift happened in my favor. I'm at a church service doing a normal routine thing, sitting on the drums, playing, doing praise and worship. I'm supposed to be, you know, worshiping, and I am. I'm doing that. But then I look over and see her, who I've never seen before. Someone had come in. She's got her hands raised. She's praising God and worshiping. And she had come late into the service. I'm like, who is that? And it was unexpected. I had no idea that that was going to happen. And it was literally like, a couple of weeks after I had given up. I was seeing somebody else, and I had brought her over to mom, and she said, nope. And I said, okay, well, all right, you know. And then this happened. When I gave up, I said, Lord, I just put all that in your hands. I don't care about it anymore. I'm not looking. I'm not doing any of those kind of things. Lord, I just give it over to you. That's when something different took place. How many know it's a whole lot better when God takes care of it? It's so much better. And then she left. In the middle of praise, she only was there for a couple songs, and she left before the service was over. I'm still playing drums. I had a decision to make, church, just like these other people had a decision to make. She was leaving, and I had the decision, stay there on the drums, do my duty, and worship God in the service with everybody there, and potentially lose who I think is the one, or get up and go chase her. So you know what I did? I made the right choice. I got up and went out the True story. I made the right choice. The door opened. I went through. Church, I've made a lot of good decisions with doors open that I ran through, and I've made some that I didn't run through. And the Lord showed them to me later. I remember spending an hour with a gentleman, and I never asked him if he knew the Lord. I spent an hour with it, and I walked away. Oh, he was a great guy, this and that. As soon as I got in my car and I shut the door, and I wasn't going to see him again because I met him by happenstance, and I don't know his number. I do not know his name to this day, and every now and then I pray about that guy. I said, God, send somebody else because I messed up. I didn't tell him. A door opened, and I don't know who he was. For all I know, he could be sitting here right now, but he's not. You have a choice when a door opens to run through it or not. An unexpected shift can take place in your life or somebody else's. It's up to you. But you have to be able to discern the voice of God. See, sometimes in order to recognize an unexpected shift in your life, you've got to be able to discern that voice. Opportunity comes knocking. You've got to know when to respond. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit inside you, you'll just feed those at the battle and go home rather than being on the front lines yourself. I've been there. I've done that. I believe in 2018 that I am not going to miss a single door that opens for me. I believe in 2018 that unexpected shifts, supernatural shifts of favor are going to take place in my life, that they're going to take place in your life. I believe that. I'm not going to miss those doors that open for me. In Psalms 32, this last scripture here, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. God wants to teach us how to hear his voice more than what we already do. This is why we're doing the small group session that we're doing. Because it's so important to discern the voice of God in our lives. So when doors open, when they take place, we will run through those doors and not miss it. I'm not just believing for doors to open. I'm believing for unexpected shifts just to happen to you, for God to just bless you and you had nothing to do with it and there was no door. It just happened. That's what I'm believing for. Why? Because God is not just able, He's willing. And I believe that with everything that I have in me. I believe it. I believe it. Can we all stand? I want us to pray. So get this. So this is the word for 2018. It's unexpected shifts. So remember that, and we're going to, I'm going to be talking more about that in the coming weeks as we, you know, go over different ones in the Old Testament. We're going to go back and look at victories and failures of different ones in the Old Testament, how we can learn from them. And we're going to talk about and point out some things about the unexpected shifts that took place in their life, where you can see how God intervened in their life. And we need to believe for God to intervene in our lives. So tonight, I'm going to pray, and then after I'm done praying, Brother Landy's going to come, and then Elder Joe and Dad's going to close us out with prayers for our church and prayers for us, that 2018 will be way, way better than 2017. Look, church, I don't know if you had a great year or a so-so year or a bad year or whatever it was. It was a pretty good year for me. I'm going to be honest. It's a good year, though, for me because of my outlook and what I believe and how I see God moving in my life. And sometimes it's just the little things, but it's the little things that give me joy, that give me joy, that give me peace. So tonight, let's agree in prayer. Whatever it is that maybe you've been going through in 2018, let's put it at the Lord's feet, just like I put who I was supposed to marry. I just put it all on God. I'm going to let Him take care of it because it's better if He does. It's way better. So let's do that now. Father, tonight, Lord, we just come to You in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we just put our full trust in You for 2018. We just lay every situation and things that we're going through, we just put it all at Your feet right now, Father God. And I thank You for opening up doors where I couldn't open them on my own, but Lord, You are able to do it and You're willing to do it. And so, Father, in Your time, I thank You that You open doors and give us unexpected shifts, supernatural favor on our lives in every area that we have, Lord, in our finances, in our families, on our jobs, wherever we are, in our witnessing to those for Christ. Father, Lord, we just put it all in Your hands, and we thank You for bringing us into 2018 with unexpected shifts, Lord, that we didn't even see coming before, but they're coming, Lord, because You are such a good, good Father, and we are Yours. We belong to You. And Lord, we don't leave here tonight without giving over all of our concerns over to You. We don't leave here tonight without saying out of our mouth, I am favored of God. Just say that to the Lord. I am favored of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.